Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
It's time.
It's time.
Time to get in the zone.
Time to get in the zone.
With the 49ers Web Zone.
This is the No Huddle Podcast.
With Al and Brian.
You know what I thought was interesting is the contract offer that they signed Brock Wright to, which is, like you said, 4 years, $12 million. It's three years, $12 million. Right. It's the same exact contract that Charlie Werner signed with the Falcons.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, that tells you, A, they were done with Charlie Werner. And B, I think, you know, I looked it up. Charlie Werner had in his entire career with the San Francisco 49ers, Charlie Werner had, I brought it up, I have it right here, a total in four seasons of 15 targets.
Straight blocking tight end.
15 targets. I was like, no, that can't be right. So I looked it up, and it is 100% correct. He had 15 targets, and he had 11 receptions for 120 yards and zero touchdowns. If you compare that with Brock Wright had, where do we go? You got to bring it up.
I got you. 12 catches, 18 catches, 13 catches in his 3 years.
There you go. Yeah. But also total. I think he had seven touchdowns, if I'm not mistaken.
He did. Yep.
Yeah. So
yep.
Seven
two
touchdowns.
In 2021, 4 and 1. Yep.
Yeah, 424 yards on 43 receptions and seven receiving touchdowns. So that seems like an upgrade for exactly what Werner signed with the Falcons. So again, a shrewd move. Also signing him to a contract that the Lions likely aren't going to match. But they still have, I think they still have one more day. So
Wednesday.
So they have until tomorrow to match. No word on whether they will or not. So we'll see on that. But what that does is again, it gives them a floor at tight end two, right? Where now you can still allow Latu and Willis to develop and not feel like, damn, we've got to do something at tight end two. So like I said, I think it's a shrewd move and you know, to me, an upgrade over Charlie Werner for exactly what Charlie Werner signed for. But hey, also good for Charlie Werner, who is just going home, right? He's from Georgia.
Yeah.
He went to Georgia. And so kudos to him. He gets to go play, you know, in his own backyard. But also I did look it up. I was right. Juwan Jennings ran a 4.72 40 at the combine.
So it wasn't quite a 5.8, but
yeah.
But
for a wide receiver, that's
it's pretty slow.
Yikes. Yeah.
But he's been a clutch dude. He's been a clutch, 100%. Super clutch guy for the Niners. Might have been Super Bowl MVP if they won. So, but you know what else this Brock Wright thing tells me? They missed on Cam Latu. That's what that tells me. And as we go into a draft that is going to shape or play a big part in shaping, again, the next 5 years, you signed Javon Hargrave because you missed on Javon Kinlaw. You signed Leonard Floyd and traded for Chase Young because you missed on Drake Jackson. You're signing Brock Young because you missed on Cam Latu. There's other examples here we can give. So while they've certainly done really well with some of their draft picks the last 3 years, we've talked about, you know, and there's been some misses there. So you're going to have misses. Every team is going to have misses. But they're in a situation this year and next year where they got to hit on two or three dudes, like big 100%. Time in each draft.
100%.
Like, you're not going to hit on 11 picks. It's not going to happen. You're probably not even hit on 6 picks. It's probably not going to happen. But you got to really hit on two or three dudes in each of the next two drafts. You can't have a draft with last year's draft doesn't really look very good. You know, the year before, other than Purdy type thing. You know, like you got to start hitting on some dudes now to build this. And you know, we'll see. They've been a really good front office. Again, they deserve the benefit of the doubt, but it's why, again, I keep saying this draft is so exciting to me, dude, because it's huge. And I understand, all drafts are huge. Well, some are more important than others, especially when you're a loaded team and you're trying to get depth. This draft is
just a unique position that they're in.
Gigantic for the 49ers as they build to the Brock Purdy era. And I can't wait to see what they do with it.
Yeah. But let's not forget, though, that last year they did draft a Super Bowl record holder, Jake Moody. the only player in NFL history to have multiple 50 plus yard field goals and did it in the same game. No big deal.
My pep talks
worked.
Also, Jake Moody missed an extra point
and missed an extra point, which would have won the game. But we'll blame Spencer Burford.
Yeah, I can't.
By the way, I looked up Juwan Jennings on Mock Draftable, and when compared to other draft eligible wide receivers, his 4.7 240 was in the second percentile, and his 29-inch vertical jump was also in the second percentile. So not what you would call an explosive athlete, but again, I love Juwan Jennings. I love what he does.
He makes tough catches, man.
I love his mentality. I think he's underutilized in some trick plays because he was a quarterback. I feel like they should use him more to throw a little bit, just to, again, get some pretty sweet trick plays in there. But no, I love what Juwan did. Like I said, I love what he does. I love what he brings. And you know, I think he's worth the tender that they gave him. But again, it is just a 1 year tender, so I don't know how they feel about him moving forward as well. But like you said, you know, this draft is, I don't know that there are many, if any other team in the same position that the 49ers are going into this draft, which is drafting for depth on a top loaded roster that is ready to compete for a Super Bowl next season, but also drafting for the future because the top of that roster isn't long for this roster either. Right. I don't think there's really any other team that is in that same position, which I think makes them one of the more intriguing teams in the draft. Maybe not necessarily for, are they going to get a superstar or whatever, but more like, what is their plan? You know, because I think we are going to learn a lot about this team and how Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch view this team just simply by the way that they draft here in 3 weeks or so. So it's exciting. It's fun. I love draft season. I'm not, by any means, I am not a talent evaluator or anything like that. I will leave that up to the people that whose job that is, but I love Dane Brugler's The Beast draft guide when it comes out, PFF's draft guide. I love to do mock drafts. It's all fun. I did one today that I thought was pretty awesome in mine. Kool-Aid McKinstry fell to 31. So that was my pick at 31. And I don't think that's I don't think that is out of the realm of possibility. Because there are some concerns for McKinstry when it comes to injury concerns. But I went cornerback and then the tackle out of Yale, Kieran, and I'm not even going to pretend to pronounce his name, AMEGADJIE. And then guard out of South Dakota State, Mason McCormick in round 3. And then I traded with the Jaguars. And then I took Malik Washington in the 4th round, Tyrone Tracy, the running back from Purdue in the 4th round, Christian Boyd, the defensive tackle out of, Northern Iowa in the 4th round, Jaheim Bell, who I think could be a 49er, very much a Debo Samuel type player, but at the tight end position. And then Tanner Bordellini, the center from Wisconsin in the 6th round, Omar Brown, a safety out of Nebraska in the 6th round, and then Dallas Gant, a linebacker out of Toledo in the 7th round. One of my favorite mock drafts I've done so far. There will be plenty more. Not that I'm going to talk about all of them, but yeah, it's it's
O-line heavy. So, I mean, you went O-line heavy too.
Yeah, well, I only two. Just that tackle in the second round, guard in the 3rd round. And center
late, right?
Yeah.
Brian,
yeah.
I know your drafts better than you, dude.
I know.
That's just how intently I hang on every word you say.
I love it.
Hey, did we talk about the kickoffs yet?
We haven't.
Oh, I love that shit. Like, usually I hate the rule changes and I bitch about them. I love the kickoffs because the kickoff had just become ceremonial, gets kicked out of the back of the end zone. Now, yeah. Like, every single one is going to get returned. You know, I think it was like 93%. I saw statistics in, like, what is it? The USFL or whatever the hell it is. Mm-hmm. They do that and get returned. So it's going to be a play that constantly happens. Kickoff returners are going to be a thing again. It's going to change games. Yeah. You could get creative with it because it's not, you know, you're blocking within 5 yards of the defense. You could do all kinds of shit. You could pull. Like, it's going to be really, really exciting to see. Debo, I think, I don't know if they'll use him there all the time, but in big spots, you just give Debo a seam. I mean, that shit is so exciting to me. It's one of the few rule changes where I'm actually, like, really jazzed about.
I saw the initial tweet that talked about it, and it just listed all of the rules, and I was like, give me a fucking break. Like, you're doing way too much. Like, just eliminate the kickoff at this point. If this is what we're doing, and it's like there's 65 new rules just for the kickoff, like, let's just eliminate it. But the more I looked into it, the more I thought, yeah, this is exciting because
it's gonna be fun.
It limits the high speed collisions, which I think is ultimately what they're trying to do. But still allows for the possibility of returns. The only question I have for you, Al, is, are you going to miss the surprise onside kicks?
That's one of the things I thought was stupid, like, because that is part of, like, the chess match of it all, right? Like,
yeah,
to be able to do that. So now it's,
you have to declare. You have to declare. Right, to declare your intention.
Like, I think that's pretty stupid.
Yeah.
I didn't love that, but
are there going to be any onside kicks?
Yeah. It's just, to me, I was like, well, again, why? But I just like that you're putting it back in the game. It'll take a little while to get used to, because it does, you know, you watch it now and it's like, okay, this looks a little gimmicky when they do it on USFL or whatever. But, like, as we get used to it, I think it's going to be a cool thing. And again, it's just going to be exciting. You know, I liked when Devin Hester was a thing. It was exciting. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I mean, Devin Hester's going to be a Hall of Famer because of his
kickoff. Yeah. Like, and you know what? If you play fantasy, like, I do, I'm obsessed with it. Mm-hmm. Now, when you draft a defense, like, pay attention to the kick returner. So I have the Steelers in my dynasty league, and they just picked up Cordarrelle Patterson. I'm like, yeah, dude, like, all right, let's go. You know, I like that. It's just more fun to me. I don't know. So we'll see how it happens. You know, when we actually get on the field and how things work. But I'm actually excited. You know, I'm actually excited about it. So,
and that's another thing I think to pay attention to for the 49ers in the draft is, are they going to draft a player with kick return ability? Because right now they don't have anybody on the roster to do it. Not just kick return, but punt return. And so, you know, there are a few guys out there, like Isaac Garendo, the halfback out of Louisville, who's just an ace kick returner. So it'll be interesting to see if they end up taking a guy that fits their offense, either as a running back or a wide receiver, but also is a kick returner of note in the college game.